Okay, we're going to learn Lakuta Sichas, Chelek Yud Aleph, Tetzave Beis, the second Sicha of Tetzave. But I figure before we get into the Sicha, we'll just do a quick recap of the Rashi, the Chumash and the Rashi on the subject, because it's a lot, there's a lot going on. There's 15 psukim on the creation of the Eifa, of the Chayshin, 15 psukim. It starts with you should make a Chayshin Mishpat, and Rashi says right away at the beginning, Chayshin Mishpat Shemachaper Al Kilkul Adin. It atones for the if somebody gives a wrong judgment, if a Rav gives a wrong judgment. That's why that explains Mishpat, why it's called Mishpat. Davarachar Mishpat Shemavarer Dvarav After Chosei Emes. Mishpat means it gives clarity to, it gives clear words and any assurances, anything that the Chayshin will say will come fulfilled. And then Rashi goes in and gives the French word for it, why, and he explains the word Mishpat, that Mishpat can also mean clarification. He goes into that a little bit. Yeah, and that's what he says. Then we go. It goes on for 15 psukim, explaining first explaining the piece of material, and then it says that they should make settings, gold settings for the stones that will be in there. Then he talks about the stones and the how many rows of stones and what type of stones, and they should engrave the names of the shvatim on the stones, and then how to put it all together, how it gets connected with the chains and so on. And then he goes, and then it says in Pasuk Chavtes, after explaining the creation, how to put it together, V'nasa Aaron Eshmeis B'nei Yisrael B'cheshen HaMishpat, and Aaron shall carry the names of B'nei Yisrael on this Cheshen HaMishpat, Al Libay, on his heart, B'vayel LaKadosh, when it comes to the holy, place, L'zikarnu L'fnei Hashem, Tomit, to be remembered, that Hashem should always remember the Yidden. Then the next pasuk says, you shall place into the Cheshen HaMishpat as a Urim v'Satumim, v'hoyu alev Aaron b'vayu l'fnei Hashem, and they will be on the heart of Aaron when he comes to before Hashem. V'nasa Aaron es Mishpat b'nei Yisrael alibay, and Aaron will carry the judgment of b'nei Yisrael on his heart l'fnei Hashem tamid. Always, he will always carry that. So our sicha begins on the last pasuk, the last pasuk. But pasuk when asata al cheshen hamishpat as urim v'satumim, on the pasuk that says that you shall place into the cheshen the urim and the tumim, mefarish Rashi. Rashi says, and he quotes first the words of the pasuk as urim v'satumim, and then he writes, "Hu ksav shem hamefarish," that this urim v'tumim. What is this urim v'tumim? It's a note which has the name of Hashem, Shehoyin Noisim B'Toch Kiflei HaChayshin, he put it into the folds of the Chayshin. The Chayshin was folded over into two. Shal Yedei Al Yodo Hu Meir Dvarav U'Metamim Es Dvarav, it's called Urim B'Tumim, because through this Shem HaMfeirish, it illuminates its words and it makes perfect its words. In other words, that it will become fulfilled. Everything that it says will become fulfilled. Ubamigdash Sheni, it continues. And the second base of Migdash Haya Cheshin, there was also, the Cheshin was there. She Efshel Kayin Gadol, Liyas Mechusa Begadim, because a Kayin Gadol cannot serve without the full complement of the Begadim. So he needs the Cheshin. Aval Oise Hashem Lohei B'techa, but that Shem HaMfeirish was not in the Cheshin in the second base of Migdash. Val Shem Oise Akosu Aksav Hukari Mishpat. And it's because of this written note with the name of Hashem that it's called Mishpat. That's why it's called Mishpat. Shenema v'sholoi b'mishpat ha'orim, as it's written later when the Eivishta told the Moshe to appoint Yeshua and that Elazar will stand before him with the Urim and Tumim, and he will ask the judgment of the Urim. So we see that the Urim, that it's called the Mishpat over the Urim. The Urim Etumim is what makes it be called, be known as the Mishpat. That's Rashi's explanation. the Tzorach Lov, and so we have to understand. Darka Shol Rashi, Lefarish Pshuta Shol Mikra. Rashi is there to explain the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Lefize Eina Muvin HaPirish Kan. So why? What is he trying to explain here? Befrat Barichas, especially dwelling on it for so long. Eich Hoya HaChesh V'Migdash Sheni. Why does he get into what happened to the Cheshin in the second Beis HaMikdash? All he needs to do here is explain what the Cheshin is. What happened later in the future? Why does Rashi have to explain it here? V'Oid Maisiv. And not only does he explain what happened there, but he gives even the explanation why it had to be there in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Kohen has to be serving with the Begadim. Why is this Negeya here? Beis, Kavanas Rashi b'chol makim, l'farish teves ha-kosesh u'matikam. Rashi always, all over Chumash, what he does is he quotes words from the Pesukim, and then he explains those words. Val pize mashayach kam biyurei. So then, what does he explain over here? Val shem oisiyaksav, and it's because of this. What did he quote in this pasuk? He quoted as a urim v'satumim. What is he now explaining? Choshen hamishpat, the word mishpat. Suddenly, he's explaining the word mishpat, and the reason is because v'sholem hamishpat urim. The mekaymai to explain this idea would have been more appropriate the pirush pasuk ahu. If he wanted to explain that pasuk, b'shola b'mishpat ha'urim, that it's called over the urim etumim, it's called mishpat. That's where he should have explained it. Why on the words as urim etumim? Number three, a third question. Not only does this seem to be the wrong place to explain this idea, ela adarabav, even more so. Because this explanation now contradicts something that Rashi said at the beginning of this very Rashi. Im hu karei chayshin mishpat, because if this chayshin is called the chayshin mishpat, rak al shem ha'isya ksav. Why is it called chayshin mishpat? Over this ksav, the shem ha'ferish that was in it, that's what gives it the name chayshin mishpat. So if there is a situation in which you don't have the ksav, it's no longer known as chayshim mishpat. Now you're left with the problem that now that in the Beis HaMikdash we didn't have the ksav in the chayshin, since it's no longer known as chayshim mishpat, then the Torah refers to it always as Chayshim Mishpat, so then he doesn't have the Chayshim Mishpat. If it's over this Ksav, that it's called Chayshim Mishpat. So that creates a bigger problem explaining that the Ksav is what makes it into Chayshim Mishpat. Heipach my Masha calls the Rashi Lefneze, which goes against what he said before. What?
The So El Chayshim Mishpat seems like one thing.
Well, he gets into it, but from this Rashi, he makes it clear that it's over this ksav, that it's called Chayshim Mishpat, that he says clearly. He will get into that, but this is how Rashi sets it up. He sets it up that way. And then there's more questions. Lahalam b'pirushay, the very next Rashi, he says, which is written on the words Al Mishpat b'nei Yisrael, on the words Mishpat B'nei Yisrael, the judgment, he will carry the judgment of B'nei Yisrael. Sheba Pasuk Zeh Kosev Rashi, so Rashi says about this, Dvarim Shehem Nishpatim V'Noichachim Al Yodai. Why is it called, what does it mean, Mishpat? It is the things which are judged and proven through the Cheshen, Im Lases Dover Eloi Lases, that the Chayshim would give instructions how to go about doing things. Ulefi Medrash Agada, that's one pshat, why it's called Mishpat. Ulefi Medrash Agada, another Medrash says this, Sha'achayshim achapar al me'uv seyadin, that the Chayshim atones for the misjudged psakim, a psak din that was given incorrectly. And nikra mishpat al shleim slichas hamishpat, so therefore it's called mishpat because it atones for the inyan of mishpat. whenever there's a mishpat which didn't come out correctly, so the cheshen atones for that mishpat. That's how Rashi explains why it's called mishpat b'nei Yisrael, why it's called mishpat. The gambi perusha zeh kasha, so here also we have questions. Aleph, beis perusha melek far omrim Rashi lifnei zeh, beparsha zu atzma. These two very same explanations on the word mishpat, Rashi said all the way at the beginning of the 15th psukim, right at the start of this subject of the cheshen, al cheshen mishpat, v'lama chayzer aleim oit kan. Why does he repeat it again? Did I read before the Rashi? That Rashi? I didn't, right? That Rashi says like this. Yeah, I did read it. Yeah, I did. So number one, gam bepirushim zeh kasha. Beis pirushim elu kvar omer Rashi lifnei zeh. He already said it before. V'lo mechezer aleim ha'pam. Why does he repeat it again? Number two, bepirushim akedem nemru beis hapirushim b'sei dehafoch memashen nemru lahalon. Over there, he reversed the order of explaining what mishpat is. He gives two pirushim on what mishpat is. One explanation is that mishpat means it clarifies and tells you what to do. The other one is that it atones for incorrect mishpat. So he gave those two same explanations there. However, he said it in the opposite order. First, he started with Shemachaper al Kilkul Adin. Over there, he started with, it's called mishpat because it atones for Kilkul Adin. V'achakach, and the second shot is Dover Achar, another explanation. Mishpat is Shemavarer Dvorov after Chosei Emes, that he clarifies his words and his assurances are true, you can rely on them. Loshem birur dvarim shemefarer shemevarer dvarav. So the word mishpat has the meaning of clarity, giving a clarification about what needs to be done. And then he continues over there, explaining it in French, and then gives you three meanings of the word mishpat, and that it also means clarification. So therefore, in addition to the general question, why does Rashi have one order here and the opposite order over there, which is a question in any case, especially Rashi, which is very precise in the way he says things, it not only is a different order, but it is a contradictory order. One contradicts the other. What does he mean by that? Generally speaking, whenever Rashi gives two pshatim, we have the rule that the first pshat is always the most direct pshat, the one that he thinks is the most important and the most direct pshat. And that's the one that he goes with as the main explanation of the pasuk. The imkein, so therefore, chiluf haseda, now when you reverse the order, machlif kvius, Hapirusha Ikri. So now he's saying over there, he said that the Ikib Shat was that it was Mu'uvas Adin, the Kapora for Mu'uvas Adin. Here he says the first Shat as the clarification of what to do. So that becomes the Ikib Shat. And in fact, even more than that, not only does he say that it's a Dover Achar, but he says it's Medrash Agoda. He identifies it as a medrash. It's a medrash. Shem pirusha zel derech hapshat legamri. That this second pshat, what he considers now the second pshat, is not really a simple pshat. Ki im b'derech hagada, it's more medrash. Hamiyashev is divri hamikra, which sometimes you have to rely on the medrash to give you certain answers to certain difficulties that you have in the pshat. Ki machmas hakayishi b'pirusha yarishen. Usually what this means is that when there's some difficulty in the first pshat, which he takes as the main pshat, shekol kulei al derech hapshat, the first pshat is usually the most direct pshat explanation. But since there's a difficulty, mukrach lahavi pirush hamedush agada, he has to bring also another pirush, which is taka a medrash, she'eni al derech hapshat lagarme, which is not basic pshat, ubepirushe le'eil, So, and that's why he brings it, because it needs to answer something. But here, what happens is that which he now identifies as a medrash agada, in other words, secondary, because it's the second shot, And not only secondary, but also not even direct pshat, because it's, he identifies it as Medrash Agada. And over there, earlier, 15 psukim earlier, he used it as the first pshat, which means the direct and most simple answer to his problem over there. So how does that's a contradictory? The order becomes contradictory to each other. On Mishpat, that it's that Mu'uvas Adin. No, the Kilkul Adin, that it atones for the Kilkul Adin.
That was the first Rashi, the later Rashi. The two orders Rashis, right?
Yeah.
So that one with Kilkul Adin, that was the one that came first.
So over here, he said, here. Over here, he said that it's. Over here, he calls it a agada, medrash agada. Over there, he uses it as the first pshat. That's the most direct pshat.
Yeah.
Here, he calls it a medrash agada. So we have a bunch of questions on the what does the Rashi want about bir b'chol zeh. So the explanation of all this. After a 15 psukim, as I said, of explaining how the cheshen is made, nemerba kisiyuma, at the very end, as a conclusion to that whole discussion, the pasuk says v'nosa aron v'geimer the cheshen amishpat dalibe, that Aaron will wear the cheshen. In other words, now that you know how to make it, Aaron should wear this cheshen, and he explains, you know, what alibe and so on. That would lead you to believe that that's the end. He told you how to make it. Now he's wearing it. The subject is finished. And then the pasuk comes back and continues with a new thing. It's already made. Aaron is already wearing it. Now he talks about place into the cheshen the Urim v'Tumim. And Aaron will carry the judgment of the Yid. So from the fact that the Urim v'Tumim, which Rashi remembers says is the Shem HaMeferesh, it's not included in the how to make the Cheshen. Over there he doesn't mention it. He mentions it only at the end, at the very end. Not even at the very end, but even after he has already said that Aaron is going to wear the cheshen. Now he remembers to say the Urim v'Tumim.
Okay, the Urim v'Tumim is not mentioned at the beginning.
No, he doesn't say that.
Comes later.
At the very end, the last pasuk. No, he talks about the cheshen
right,
and how to make it,
yeah.
And then that Aaron will wear it, and then he says you should put into it the Urim v'Tumim. It comes at the very end. As a separate thing, it seems. Moving by Pashto, say there are Mikroish, Urim v'Tumim ain't a chelik ma'amaisa cheshen atzmei. This leads us to believe that the Urim v'Tumim is not really a part of the creation of the cheshen. Eladavar anaisa v'latzam cheshen, but it's something additional to the cheshen itself. That's why it's mentioned after the making of the cheshen, after Aaron wearing it already. Now there's a new thing, Urim v'Tumim. So now when Rashi explains that, what is this Urim v'Tumim? It is the name of Hashem that was placed in it. That through this ksav, that's how the cheshen works. One of the features of the cheshen was that it was able to give nevuah. And it's through this ksav that the cheshen is able to work. The mizen nirish orim b'tumim magam hinam chelik mecheshen atzmai, that the orim b'tumim are part of the cheshen itself, because that's how it works. Shalei musa shalei cheshen k'shura b'zeshen esim b'irim b'tumim, to make the cheshen work perfect, to make it complete, it's only through the orim b'tumim. Mareza b'sidah la'amuvim ha'seda k'suvim anal. Therefore, it leaves a question: if it's so essential to the orim b'tumim, to the cheshen, why is it brought up only after the making of the cheshen, after Aaron wearing it, which would make you think that it's not essential to the cheshen? But it seems that it is essential to the cheshen. Umamshech Rashi, so therefore Rashi continues, Liyashiv Kushazu, in order to answer this question. So he explains, the Migdash Sheni Haya Cheshen. The Migdash Sheni also had the Cheshen. She Efshel HaKayin Gadol Liyaz Mechuzah Begadim, because of course a Kayin Gadol has to be wearing the Cheshen. Avalois Hashem Lo Yeh B'Teichai. But the fact is that in the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, that Ksav was not in it. The Urim V'Tumim was not in the Cheshen. Therefore, this proves that what? The Mezem Bochus Urim V'Tumim Einem Chelik Me'etzem HaCheshen. This proves that it really is not a Chelik of the Etzem HaCheshen, because if not, how could he be wearing the Cheshen in the second Beis HaMikdash without it? Then it really wouldn't be called a Cheshen. So therefore, since he did wear it and it was... did qualify as a cheshen, that proves that the Urim V'Tumim is not a chelik, essential chelik.
Are they two different things, Urim V'Tumim?
No. The Urim V'Tumim, it's two purposes of that Shem Amferish. It illuminates and it perfects. Sharei lo yehoya kayin gadol mechusa begadim. Because we know for sure, without question, that the Kohen Gadol was not a Mechusa B'Godim Gam Be'Yishoyah Cheshen B'Lodom. In the whole period of the Bayis Sheni, of course you wouldn't say that the Kohen Gadol was serving without a Cheshen. So it means that the Cheshen could be a proper Cheshen without the Urim V'Tumim. But if it only works with the Urim V'Tumim, so then what does it mean? That's what he asks now. Omnom Zas Medeirish Bir. But this itself needs to be understood. Since it's only through the Urim V'Tumim that it actually can illuminate, the Cheshen can work as the perfection of the Cheshen. Why shouldn't the Urim V'Tumim be essential to the Cheshen? That without it you can't have a Cheshen. Just like any other part of the Cheshen. That every part of what the Torah describes the Cheshen has to be like was essential to the Cheshen. It needs the 12 stones, it needs the Mishbetzes, and so on. Why, by the Urim V'Tumim, does it not need it? Afrat, Sha'urim V'Tumim Hinam L'Cheire Inyan Iker B'Cheshen, especially that the Urim V'Tumim seem to be such an essential part of the Cheshen. That's how it works. Exactly. So this is means that the battery, on the battery is the Chnishkin toy.
No, I'm saying,
what
exactly is
Meir's Dvar
mean of it?
Is it lit up? Yeah, the words lit up.
The function of a beggar. The beggar. Now you want to have this idea over here. You want to have it to answer a question.
The kids are, if you buy your child a Hanukkah present and you don't give him the batteries, you bought him nothing. He has nothing. It doesn't work. It doesn't. He can play with the box, which he'll do anyway. But
like a phone without a SIM card.
So without the mishpat.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the same nekuda.
You're saying there's no idea of it being on its own a beggar.
This seems to be the most essential part of the cheshen. What makes it work? So how could it be that without that, it's a fine cheshen. It's a fine cheshen.
I want to say a step further. I want to separate these two things. There's Lavush, a beggar, and there's something, if they want to know exactly, they ask it. You're saying, there's no two things. The Cheshen HaMishpat.
As he says later, that it's over this, it's the Urim V'Tumim which makes it be called Cheshen HaMishpat.
Yeah, later in Rashi.
Yeah. And that's why Rashi continues in the second Rashi, in the next Rashi. Then it's because of this ksav that it's called mishpat. The hainu shirak inyan mishpat shudab neisav al etzem acheshen toliba ksav shal urim v'tumim. So Rashi comes to explain that the mishpat is an additional thing to the cheshen. There is cheshen, and then there is cheshen mishpat. There is what causes it to be called cheshen mishpat, and then there is the cheshen without the mishpat. Aval guf ve'etzem acheshen habeged sholemu b'gam b'lo yehurim b'tumim. But the etzem acheshen, in other words, it should be called one of the big day kohona. It can be done without the urim b'tumim as well. Deina kain gadol mechusa b'gadim, and it won't be called a mechusa b'gadim. As you just said, this is what the next Rashi explains. Or is it the same one or is it the next one? Huh? It's the same one?
Yeah, the
Chiddush
is.
That's right. That's what the new.
Is something
on by the question, he was taking it as if this is the essential part, if this is what makes the Chayshon work, so then how could it be Chayshon without it? So therefore, he explains that that's why it's called Mishpat. Mishpat is an additional thing, is an addition to that. Which is the reason why first he explains the Cheshen, the Maisa Cheshen, describing how to create the Cheshen, B'chol Pratim and all the details. And then at the end of that description, that ends the Parsha of the Cheshen, of it, the Cheshen itself. And now that he finished with describing how it's made, Messiah Makosum Abayit in Yonei V'Tachlisei Shalachayshin, now he explains now what is the function of the Chayshin. So first of all, it's V'Nosa Aaron Hashmeiz V'Nei Yisrael is the Karen V'Nei Hashem Atomit, that Aaron should wear it and therefore the Eibush will remember the names of the Yidden. And then, only after that, V'Achazeh Bo Hatzivay Al Urim V'Tumim Shu HaChayshin HaMishpat, and then comes a new thing, that this you put into it the Urim Betumim, which makes it into a Cheshen Mishpat, which is an addition, which is an added feature to the Etzem Cheshen. Bin Yonai, Bahayalev Arim, and also a Mishpat Ben Israel. Now he will carry the ability to be able to give judgment, meaning to say, give clarity to the way the Yidden should conduct themselves in certain situations.
You have a Hechet separate between two, because they're very interesting types.
First of all, the best raya is that the pasuk makes it separate. That the pasuk makes it into two separate things. That he finishes with the cheshen and then he starts with the urim betumim and calls that mishpat. So that in itself is a strong raya that that's how it is. Of course, the ultimate raya to us, which could be a question, but in the end, it proves that that's how it has to be. That the fact that the Kohen Gadol was able to wear it without the Urim V'Tumim is a raya. That it has to be two separate things. But the Mishpat Inyan is from Behine Behesem Behemshech Behemshech LePirushei Anal B'Tchilas HaPasuk. Now he continues. Now that we understand this Nekuda, Shemechir Bay She Al Shem Oisei Aksav the Urim V'Tumim Nikra Mishpat. Now that he's explained that it's that the Urim V'Tumim is what calls it a mishpat, makes it be called a mishpat. The Farash Rashi Gamkin BePirushi Harishain. Now he comes with his. This is the first and the most direct shot of the next Rashi. Mashkasu LaAlon Es Mishpat Bnei Yisrael. He comes to explain the meaning of the word mishpat. So what is the meaning of the word mishpat? Dovah Sheim Nishpatim Nechachem. Some the ability to be able to be guided and taught and shown how to behave. That's the meaning of mishpat here. Ha'ainu the mishpat koy al ha'urim v'tumim kefish pirush bereish dekra. That mishpat is referring to the urim v'tumim. What was the urim v'tumim? The ability to be able to guide them. That's what urim v'tumim means, to guide them. So mishpat is a reflection of that. Mishpat means to express that nekuda, that it's a way to guide the yidden, and that's what the meaning of mishpat is. ומסבר תיימא של רשי, במה שהכריע כאן שפירוש זה הוא העקרי, כי רק לפי פירוש זה ניתן להסביר בכדי ליישב בהמשך הכסובים שירדו מתומעינם מעצם החשן. In this case, only in this case, because before he has a different order, with a different need to explain mishpat, but let's first dwell on this one, that in this case, the pirush, the meaning mishpat, that mishpat means to guide and to teach, is what mishpat means, fits very well with the order of the psukim, that the pasuk separates it into two things, and that the urim v'tumim is something secondary, and that the mishpat means the urim v'tumim, which means the ability to teach them how to behave, and that's what mishpat means in this case. That's the best shot for this place, for here. Ma she'enkin b'pirush rashi le'el v'cheshem mishpat, Whereas before, Shadayin Ein Hechach Lefarash Einin the Mishpat Koya Lurim Betumim, earlier, when he just called it Chayshem Mishpat, all we know over there is Vasisa Chayshem Mishpat Masa Chayshem. It doesn't say what the Chayshem Mishpat means. It doesn't explain that in this, right at the beginning, 15 psukim ago, it doesn't explain that Mishpat means the Urim Betumim, as we now know at the end. So at that point, over there it makes more sense, it's more direct, it's more simple, it's more pshat, that the word mishpat means judgment, din, not guidance, teaching. Which is not the simple meaning of the word mishpat. In fact, Rashi over there struggles to come to that understanding. He has to explain the French word. Then he has to explain three different pshatim in the word mishpat. And then finally gets to this, also has the meaning of guiding. But the simple meaning is, of course, judgment. Mishpat all over means judgment. That's why the first pshat over there at the beginning is that when it talks about mishpat, it means a cheshem which will atone for kilkul adin, which uses the term mishpat in its most direct and simple meaning. Ki hu ikep shudushal mikra al asar, because over there, that's the main meaning of the word mishpat. Din, that's what mishpat means. Barak achakach b'tayr pirush sheni, but then as a second pshat, he also wants to bring in what later will become clear has to be the meaning, which is that it's also mishpat shemavarei dvarav, that it has the meaning also that it will clarify and teach and so on, that it has that ability. The cheshen will do that. That's also, and that's actually what the cheshen did. But over here, but at that point, to explain in simple terms what mishpat means din. So he starts with that one. Omno mitamze atzme, shekosho lemish mishpat pirusha biru dvarim. But since it's that's difficult to say that the word mishpat means clarifying and so on. In addition to that, we have another problem, which is that it's called cheshem mishpat even before he said the words v'nasata, that you should put into it the urim v'tumim. So it's called Cheshem Mishpat even before it acts as an Urim V'Tumim. So since it's already called Cheshem Mishpat at that point, Ein Rashi Mistabgi Pirush HaRishon Al Pasuk Didan Sham Mishpat V'Nisrael Hayinu Urim V'Tumim. That's why it's not enough to say that what is the meaning of Mishpat as he explains it here is the first pshat, which is that it is the guidance idea, as he says at the end that that's the direct pshat. He's talking now here in our Rashi, going away from over there. He finished explaining that one. Now he goes back to here. Why over here does he need a second pshat? The first pshat, which clarifies, in other words, this was a chotzi evil. Everything that the mamasha enkein. This paragraph on page 136, the first paragraph, is like a parenthesis, just, you know, explaining how it's different over there. But now we're going back to explaining our Rashi, which is that since the pshat, that it's a guidance, which over here is the most direct pshat that makes the most sense in the way the psukim taught us. That Urim V'Tumim is what makes a mishpat, and that it's it illuminates and so on. But since there is still this problem, which is that it's a psach, it doesn't seem to fit with the word mishpat so much. The word mishpat usually doesn't mean that. So Rashi says that there is also another pshat that's called mishpat al shem shemachaper al ma'uf se'adin, that it's also called mishpat because of ma'uf se'adin, because we have this problem with the word mishpat, and how does that mean mishpat, Urim V'Tumim? And that sort of lends itself more to the simple meaning of the word mishpat.
The thing that is essentially, Rashi could have wrote in the first Rashi, "Lahalon yivur." Later on, we'll explain. Why is it necessary?
He doesn't usually do that.
Huh? Switch it.
He just switches the order. He gives both pshatim in both places.
Yeah.
But over there, the order makes more sense. We're talking about the child wants to know, what's cheshen mishpat? What does mishpat mean? It means judgment. Why is the cheshen called judgment? Because it's mechaper al mishpat ma'uf se'adin. But it also has another meaning. He gives you a second meaning also because l'payel, that's also correct, that the cheshen has the ability to illuminate. Even though it doesn't fit so much with the words mishpat, but therefore he gives you the second shot over there also, that is also correct. That's also what it means.
Also Rashi has to explain why we call it a cheshen mishpat at the beginning. It's only because it's something that's going to be moist later on.
No, you don't know that yet at that point. At the beginning, you don't know that yet.
That's why I'm saying at the beginning, why is it called cheshen mishpat? Why is it the first reason? It's because it's mechaper on there.
Yeah, that's the first. You mean that's another reason why he starts with Ma'uv Sadin?
Right.
Ella the Ma'achas Shapiru Zeh Kosher LaHelmei BePashas Hemshchak Subim. But this pshat that Mechaper Al Ma'uv Sadin over here, once we get to this point, it's difficult to explain that why is it called Chayshu Mishpah because of Mechaper Al Ma'uv Sadin, especially the way the flow of the psukim has led us to understand what's going on. Okay, now, and as he mentioned before, because all it means is that the Urim V'Tumim is mechaper on Ma'uf Se'adin, so that's something that is already there. Why don't you include it in the regular part of the description of, if that's what Urim V'Tumim is, that it's mechaper on Ma'uf Se'adin, why not just be make it a part of the general description of how the cheshen is made. So in order to explain that, because we have that difficulty, so therefore we had to understand that the Urim V'Tumim has another function which is not essential to the cheshen itself, and it's an addition to the cheshen itself. And that is that it's the Urim V'Tumim that it guides and it teaches. And that's, so therefore he has to have that shot too. He has to start with that shot.
You're referring to the later Rashi.
The second Rashi. We're talking about the second Rashi.
Urim V'Tumim, because earlier we didn't know about Urim V'Tumim.
Right. He's talking about the second Rashi. That's why I said that the first paragraph, Masha'en Kein, is a Chatzi Eagle. He's going back to before the Chatzi Eagle to explain our Rashi. The Lechain Chasiv Rashi, Shepirush Zeh Sheni, Hu Lefi Medrash Agada. And that's why he says, this is a Medrash Agada. This is not a simple pshat, because at this point, the flow of the psukim doesn't allow us to say simply that the cheshen mishpat only means mechaper al ma'uf se'adin. Because if so, why didn't he just mention it earlier? Why did he stick in that pasuk about Aaron wearing it before he talked about Urim V'Tumim? So therefore, it must mean something more, something much different, which is not a chelik, essential chelik of the cheshen, which means the Urim V'Tumim as the pshat of guiding and illuminating and so on. So even though it's not the most simple interpretation of the word mishpat, but over here, that's the simple pshat. That's the direct pshat. And the simple meaning of the word mishpat, which is din, is complicated here, even though it's an easier translation of the word.
I'm thinking to chart it out. So you have mitzad the beged itself,
if that's what Urim V'Tumim means, that it's Mechaper al Kilkul Adin. Urim V'Tumim is Mishpat, is what calls it Mishpat, who makes it Mishpat.
Yeah, we've seen the first Rashi,
We
didn't mention yet Urim V'Tumim.
Yeah.
So why? Well, what's the Taich Cheshen Mishpat?
Yes, of course, but because he didn't mention anything yet over there about making the cheshen mishpat, that doesn't mean that you don't have to have 12 stones, because he didn't mention it yet at that point. You have to have it,
right.
But there's a pshat of Urim V'Tumim which means mishpat, kilkul ma'uv se'adin.
Urim V'Tumim?
Yeah, that's what mishpat Rashi says.
The earlier Rashi mentioned the
Yeah, that's the earlier Rashi. No, later he mentions about the Urim V'Tumim, that the Al Shem Hashem Hazeh Nikra Cheshe Mishpat.
Right.
It's over this.
By the Pasuk Tazvav, you mentioned Cheshe Mishpat. Yeah. The first Taiches, Shemechaper Al Kil Kaladim.
Yeah. Because that's what Mishpat means. Mishpat means that, yeah.
No, Mishpat means Din.
Yeah.
Now, what's the connection from Cheshe to Mishpat? So you say there are times when the bezin that
makes a mistake and
the judgment. So this beged, all the godim were mechaper on something. This beged is mechaper on kilkul adin.
Yeah.
We don't know yet urim v'tumim.
At that point, we don't know.
We're explaining as if we don't know anything else.
Yeah. At that point, yeah.
Right. And then the second type you're saying over here, mishpat shemevare dvarei v'atuchas emes.
Yeah.
Which we're so that can be associated
with later
Odom Atumim, which he didn't mention yet.
Well, both of them are really, but
so they're first in the Zikr shot.
Right. But why was it necessary to say the second Taicho over here?
Over here?
Yeah.
Because that's actually what it means. That is actually what it means.
Because later on we're going to give him a shot.
He's not going to give you only one shot, and then you find that it's something totally different that he never told you back there. Why wouldn't he tell you? But the main shot at that point is simple: is mishpat means meluvas adin,
kilkul adin. Especially as it comes out, it's not market. The shem hashem.
Why? No, he's asking why did Rashi have to give us the second shot earlier? I don't think he says that. No.
Okay, over here, he's making secondary. Eventually, usually there's a problem. Why? Actually, find that because of later psukim.
Yeah, because it's going to turn out he doesn't want to give you the wrong shot.
They don't say anything; it's like you'll say it later on. What over here? There is an aspect of it of chayshim mishpat. It's not the mishpat part of it.
It's the first appearance of the word chayshim mishpat. He explains what mishpat means. So at this point, it's okay to explain it in a simple, direct word of the word mishpat. However, there's another pshat also, which later you'll find out is pretty essential. Because over there it comes out that it's dafka this way, but Rashi, why would he give you an incomplete thing at the beginning?
I'll tell you a simple reason.
Why?
Later on he mentions Urim V'Tumim. Over here he didn't mention Urim V'Tumim. So in the word Chayshon Mishpat, there's with and without Urim V'Tumim. When it's without Urim V'Tumim over here, it's Kilkul Adin, Bayis Shein. When it's with Urim V'Tumim, then it's the idea of this Mishpat and Haftachas Yemes. As later on, Meir Dvarav.
But even to...
He's got both shots.
Later on, you can have... Once you have the second thing, you can mention both. But over here, we don't have the second one yet. So, and over here, especially, there's no mention of Urim V'Tumim yet. And he's saying the word Mishpat itself means Shemavara Dvarav at the Chasiyam.
Right.
That's a taich in the word Mishpat.
Yeah.
Not Shemeir Dvarav Metam Dvarav. In the word Mishpat... We're saying over here,
the word mishpat also means that, yeah. Because I guess he wants to anticipate, he doesn't want to give incomplete information. If he's interpreting the word mishpat is going to eventually mean that it's meir, right? He's mevarer dvarav. So he's giving you now also that the insight. He gives you the insight here.
In other words, my question will be, by bayis sheni.
Yeah.
Do they have this idea of mishpat, which doesn't mention Urim V'Tumim? This Rashi over here, did that exist in bayis sheni?
Kilkul adin.
Shemevarer dvarav v'tachas yemes.
No, I don't think they had it.
No, so I don't think if I'm learning this Rashi, I don't know anything of Urim V'Tumim, and he's nevertheless still touching the word mishpat. So it seemed like in the word Chayshe Mishpat, which that is something which exists.
The truth is that the word Mishpat also includes what happened, that the second pshat of Mishpat also includes what happened in the Bayis Rishon.
Right.
So he's telling you that pshat. He's giving you that pshat as a secondary pshat because it's not the simplest understanding of the word Chayshe Mishpat, at least at this point. But he's also giving you, because in the Bayis Rishon, that's what Mishpat meant. Mishpat meant that.
In the Bayis Sheni, was it Mechaper al Kilkul Adin without the Urim V'Tumim?
Yes, of course.
Because only associated with the Cheshen.
With the Cheshen itself, yeah.
Right.
We've got to argue this after.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, just
It's going in circles. Okay. I hear your shy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, both Rashi's has two explanations, right? One is the Iker, one is the back where it is.
Well, the fee she tosses or Rashi, moven gam al derech halacha. So now, the way Rashi approaches it, we also understand that this is how it is in halacha. That's how it also carried out. To answer the question, how Taka was he able to serve without the Urim Betumim? The answer is, the way Rashi explains it or illuminates it is that by not having the Urim Betumim, it doesn't affect the status of the Cheshen, because the Cheshen is already called a Cheshen as without the Urim Betumim. Ki'im le'inyam mishpat. It only affects the status of mishpat. And that's why even if he's lacking the Urim Betumim, it's not missing in the status of the Cheshen. The Cheshen is there completely. Which goes to Rashi Batsim Mefedish, as Rashi clearly said. So, in other words, the word mishpat, on the one hand, it's called a chesha mishpat immediately, even before it had the Urim Betumim. On the other hand, the other pirush of Rashi, not the pirush of Kilkul Adin, but in the pirush of illuminating and guiding, that meaning of mishpat is not found in the cheshen itself. That's only an additional thing to the cheshen.
Chesaron is only ki'im l'inyan mishpat, right? But by saying that's mechaper and kilkul adin, there's still an inyan of mishpat, even without the shem hashem.
Even without the Urim Betumim.
Without
the Urim Betumim. So it's called, so there seems to be that mishpat, on the one hand he calls it chesha mishpat, even before the Urim Betumim. Even before the Urim Betumim. He calls it mishpat throughout. Chesha mishpat is what he addresses it in. But the way that Rashi explains that what is the inyan of Urim Betumim, that is what lends mishpat to the Cheshen. So that's what it lends this new insight into what mishpat is. Mayenev etzishol teira, an inner view of this inyan, befirish Rashi shel faneinu. Mevor b'chsidus. It's explained elsewhere in Chassidus Shachiluka Ikri Ben Migdash Rishon LeMigdash Sheni that one of the main differences between the holiness of the first base of Migdash and the second base of Migdash, Hashem is Shum Zeh Chosru Hei Dvarim Ben Migdash Sheni, and as a result of this difference that they were missing those five things. One of them was the Shem Amfeirish, the Urim Betumim. Lo Yehoyah Kol Kach B'Madreges Gili Elokusha Ben Migdash Atzmai. The difference wasn't so much about what kind of oir was nizgala in the Beis Hamikdash itself. In other words, they were similar. Also, in the second Beis Hamikdash was the gili of the level of bina, which is what was in the first Beis Hamikdash. Kamei b'migdash arishon, the same as the first Beis Hamikdash. Ki'im, what is the difference then? The main difference. She'ikir achiluk hoye b'amshachas gili b'chinas bina b'gvulin. The difference is that it didn't reach out into the outside the Beis HaMikdash, into the rest of Eretz Yisrael, into the rest of the world. He talks about it in regards to why they blew shofar on Shabbos. If Shabbos came out, on Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos, they blew shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the other, not Begvulin, not in the rest of. So they said because in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a certain oir that couldn't reach outside the Beis HaMikdash, but there could have been a problem with blowing shofar and so on. But inside the Beis HaMikdash, everything was the same as they did. Yeah, all these gzeiros took place during the second Beis HaMikdash. So by well, the fee pirush Rashi, kenu inyan gam ben negei l'cheshen. So the way Rashi sees it, it's also the same could be said about the cheshen. Cheshen asmei ha'i gam beis sheni. That the cheshen itself, there was a cheshen in the second base of Migdash too, as Rashi said. Elosh inyan ha-mishpat, shayidei shal yoda nishpatim in Yisrael ba'olam. But the function that the cheshen had, that it could illuminate and it could teach and it could guide the yidden, that was missing. Inyan zeh hu shechaseroz. So the holiness of the Cheshon was complete even in the second Beis HaMikdash. But its ability to be able to reach outwards to the Yidden, that was not there. Just like the Beis HaMikdash itself. That's what was lacking. That the Cheshon itself was even there, was there fully in the Beis HaMikdash. And the same is true also. This difference can also be understood in the Golus itself. Amar Azal, Shecheshen, Oisis Nochash. Cheshen is the same letters as a snake, as a serpent. Nochash HaKadmaini, referring, of course, to the first serpent. Ul'idach Gise, the source of all klippa. Ul'idach Gise, Mavur, B'Shemer, B'Fraim, Balei Taisis. On the other hand, Reb Ephraim, one of the Balei Taisis, says that Shecheshen begematria Mashiach. So it has two extremes. Cheshen can be seen as the Nochash, Cheshen can be seen as Mashiach. In the time of Golus, how does the Golus come about? Because of our sins, which means that the Nochash HaKadmaini was able to gain control over Nefesh HaLikis. Hare Inyan HaNochash HuBegilui. Then the Inyan HaNochash is Begoli. That's in the Golus we see Nochash. That's what you see Nochash. And what the other word, the other letters, the other combination of letters, which is Cheshen, Mashiach, that is concealed. That's concealed. We don't see it yet. In other words, the Cheshen exists even in the Golus. But it's a Behelim in the Golus. What the Mashiach aspect of the Cheshen. And that's what we have to do in the Zman HaGolus, L'faneich u'l'galus ha'Cheshen migmat Mashiach me'olomei. That we have to open up and explain and illuminate what the meaning of Cheshen is. That it's begematria Mashiach. And we have to bring that out of its hiding. That not only will it be so in truth, that's how a taka is, but it's even a mishpat, meaning that it reaches into the world and it changes its scene by the world that way as well. Not the world doesn't mean the goyim, it means us, the world.
To transform.
It's there now also. Cheshen has behelim Mashiach. But what's seen now is only Nochash. So we have to illuminate, bring out that which is there should also reach outward and affect the world as well. That this will also bring Mashiach b'karav mamash.